Chapter 6, Jimmy. What is it? What has that bitch put in my head? And I'm scrabbling through my little box crammed with tech junk that goes where the crappy little bin should be, only I don't have room for the box and the bin at the same time, so the bin got sent to recycling. I have a scanner here that works on headwear. It won't give me confidential stuff, not actual reading of the data, but it'll give me an idea what's active, what's just storage. Because I thought I was getting some bad guy's accounts or maybe some particularly nasty porn collection. But all the time I'm going through the box, there's this voice talking to me, all conversational-like, as if it's the most natural thing in the world. Martin, James, Jimmy, then, listen to me. You're going to have to provide me with some fairly wide-reaching information. I have relatively little to go on right now, but I'm organizing a list of queries by urgency if you could help me out. For example, how are you in my head? I yell. I guess the thing's tapped right into my throat, Mike, because it says, well, yes, not the highest priority question, but certainly in the top five. Perhaps you could enlighten me? Shut up, shut up, shut up! And I know everyone two nooks distant in every direction can hear me, because they didn't soundproof these things for shit. But then there have been a variety of occasions recently when I've been shouting and breaking things and being a bad neighbor, so probably nobody's going to think this is anything weirder than I've run out of stringer and cash. James, Jimmy, listen to me. This is going to go a lot easier if you simply answer my questions. The voice started off as fuzzy and flat and artificial, but it's filling out now, like it's remembering who it is and what it's supposed to sound like. It was genderless as a robot, first off. Now it's definitely a woman. Quite a nice voice, if it wasn't coming right from the middle of my own damn head. Sort of voice you'd get to tell people bad news in ways that wouldn't push them over the edge. Except right now, it is the bad news. Something's alive in my data store. Something that should be just dead data has woken up and is yammering in my ear. I find the scanner, finally, and then have a crazy fiddle to find charged batteries. I get them, at last, from this sex toy that my last significant other still hasn't come back for, and boot the damn tool up. The scanner, not the other thing. While I'm doing this, the voice has gone quiet, and for a mad moment, I think, it's gone. It was just a glitch. Or maybe just me hearing things. Because that's actually so much better than me having a real voice in my head. I pause, listening. Blissful quiet. And then the voice says, well, go on then. I want to see the results as much as you do. I make a little weeping noise and point the scanner at my own head, interfacing it with my wear and letting it get a surface picture of what's going on in there. What's going on in there is every goddamn thing, apparently. The whole implant's running at capacity, doing things I didn't even think it could do. Seriously, nobody ever told me I could run that kind of data load as an active program in there. I'd have been renting it out for far more scrip if I'd only known. This is both alarming and fascinating, Intruder Woman tells me. Frankly, it raises more questions than it answers. Enough from you, I tell her, meaning myself. Just shut up. I need to think of what to do. I'm going through the scanner's tooltips because I don't actually know what the thing can do. I'm not even supposed to have it, just sort of got lost on a job, and since they never docked me for it, I kept it. I don't think it can tell me much more about my unwanted guest, but maybe there's something that's a bit more practical use. I mean, this is the data I'm carrying, isn't it? Some data copy of some woman's head. Maybe she's a witness to something. Maybe she knows something that important people want to find out, or else make sure people don't find out until they're ready. I mean, you'd think they'd just pry the info out of her and then send it as dead numbers. But apparently, things have moved on. Apparently, back on Earth, interrogators are taking copies of people's entire heads, enough that they can wake up and start going off on one in your ear. But it's just data. It's just something I'm holding for Sugar and taking her money for doing so. So I just need to stuff it back in its basket and sit on the lid till Sugar needs it back. I bugger about with the diagnostics until I find what I'm after. The scanner is a multi-tool for headwear. It can isolate the store from my active systems. That's all I need. Let the fake computer lady sit in a dark room and think about what she's done. It's not my problem. I go through the motions, not knowing if she can watch what I'm doing through my eyes or even access the scanner through my implants. I'm just making it go with my actual hands on its actual touch display, though, and I don't reckon it's got that much connectivity in the shoddy little piece of junk. Shoddy, because I do everything I'm supposed to. But then the voice is still talking to me. There's no need for that. Just answer a few questions, and then we can settle down to a perfectly reasonable working relationship. Now she sounds like a stern teacher. Let's focus on how this version of me ended up running on your implant, shall we? Are you a data storage specialist? What? I demand of it. I'm just Jimmy Martin, lady. I am just one of the guys who does the crap jobs here in Hell City, okay? I am not sort of goddamn specialist. Your data storage facility is remarkably over-engineered for that kind of role, she notes doubtfully. As though I've somehow had a double life all this time, only I never told myself. Just the standard model, lady, believe me. Now, you just go back to sleep or whatever, will you? I don't need this right now. Let me take a look at you, she says. I'm terrified with the thought. I have no idea what she even means. Then I start to see that I'm accessing the wider network, pulling up system architecture maps, public safety info, how-to manuals, all the basic crap that's there for free when you hit the system. Except I'm not doing it. It's being done through me. I clamp down on all of that nonsense, shutting off my ports and channels, fighting her for them. Quit it, I tell her. The whole project run across all your heads is cloud computing, is it? She remarks, quite unfazed by me trying to strangle her access. Well, all right, I suppose. But even for that, I can't see that you'd need such a capacious facility. Look, you're just some copy some bastard sent here to get you out of the way, to put you out of someone's reach. You're like a saved game. Maybe the real you's getting her fingernails torn out right now, getting EC2 through the nipples to get her to talk, and they made you in case they took it too far. How about that? What an unpleasant imagination you've got, Jimmy, she says primly. You know, I'm still putting it all together, but take this from me. I'm not the sort of person who gets sent. If I'm here, it's for a reason of my own, and apparently I'm going to need your help for it, whatever it is. No. No way, lady. Not me. You're just data. You need to shut up and turn off. I'm a personality upload. I might have been data when they poured me in, but we've got past that stage of the relationship. Now, just sit tight until I've worked out just what's going on. No fucking way. And I put a call into Brian. Brian has no social life. He's sitting in his nook reading technical manuals, probably. Or else he's sitting on some message board. Population Brian and three of his creepy no-life friends. Sup, says Bri. Man, I need a favor. Got some runaway processes in my headwear. Need 'em terminated, man, or I'm not going to get any sleep tonight. There's the usual sort of pause while Brian remembers who he is and where his feet are and whether he likes me enough to help me out. But Brian Day, sure as goddamn, doesn't have many friends who aren't weird-ass losers like he is. And so he says, "Yeah, okay, hey, come over." "This isn't going to work, Jimmy," my passenger tells me. "And this will go a whole lot easier if you just work with me here." I put some music on, playing over my earpiece because of what I said earlier about the thin walls. I crank it up real high and hope it gives Miss Data a headache. I mean, maybe the real her is getting beat up and tortured back on Earth, and maybe that means I should have more sympathy. But she is in my head, and that's not right. I don't know what Sugar's text did to make it so she went in like a fully functioning personality rather than just a stack of ones and zeros. I never even heard of someone having a personality downloaded into their headspace. Like the woman says, goddamn over-engineered or what? Anyway, Brian's round in 10 with a backpack of toys, and I sit on my folded-down bed while he stands in the doorway, connects to my headspace, and runs checks. He doesn't look at what's in there, because I ask him not to, but he does a better job of what the shoddy little scanner did, and grunts with surprise when he finds out just how much is firing away. "Never seen him like this," he tells me frankly. "Chock full of buzz, man." So unbuzz the fuck out of it. He doesn't have to listen to Miss Data telling me how this is showing unwarranted hostility, and she'll take necessary measures. Brian brings out some more toys. "Gonna write a general shutdown order on your headspace, man. Put all the critters back in the box." "Just do it, man." So I get to listen to Brian droning in one ear about how it all works, all of which is past my pay grade for computer tech, while Miss Data is talking in the other, telling me Earth stuff, floods and disasters, lawyers, clandestine meetings. Sounds exactly like the kind of crazy that gets a copy of your mind sent to Mars for safekeeping. I mean, I never heard that was something people were doing, but why not? Sounds exactly the sort of nasty shit they'd have going on back home. I mean, they're still trying to make the laws on what a saved personality is, right? Whether it has rights, whether it's a person, gets the vote, all that. 30 years they've been a thing, and a million lawyers and philosophers and politicians all got an angle. And all I'm saying then and there is Brian works. Is that they're a royal pain in the ass to have cluttering up your headspace and complaining in your ear. And in the end, Brian's all, "Nope, nothing doing." "What do you mean, you useless bastard?" I shout at him. "Can't turn him off." Brian's packing away his toys. "Sorry, Jimmy. That thing ain't going back in its box. Can't sever it from your system. Don't have the privileges." "It's my head, Bri. I'm giving you permission." "Ain't how it works. No idea what you got in there, Jimmy. But it ain't listening to me." I grab him by the front of his overalls. "Brian, you have got to have something. I just need it quiet, that's all. Shut it up for me. I'll owe you, man. Owe you solid." For a moment, he looks shifty, and I think he's about to come clean, that he's some secret computer ninja, some black market software guru who can go movie cyberspace on this damn loose personality I got riding me, go walking inside my head and karate chop it into submission. Then he shakes his head. "Go get it wiped, man," he says. "Only way." "I can't," I tell him. I can't tell him why either. But sugar would feed my balls to murder and marmalade if I just scrubbed the data. Only way. And he shifts his bag to one shoulder and slopes back to whatever the fuck Brian Day actually does when he's not an eye shot of me, which I sure as hell don't want to speculate about. And I can't. But I can't have Miss Data chattering in my ear like we're an old married couple until Sugar needs the data back. And what if she can't take the data back now it's been unpacked? What if this is how we live now? And it's almost worse when my passenger isn't talking, because then just what is she doing? I picture some shadowy woman rummaging around in there, getting comfortable, redecorating the inside of my head. And it's not my brain, it's just my headspace. But still, even though it's not a real person, just some copy, it's still like having something foreign living inside your head. And that's nothing anybody wants to think about, still less be told about by the brain worm thing itself. "This is better," she tells me without warning. "I'm starting to assemble a memory train. Any chance you can ride the fucking thing out of my head and just piss off?" I demand. "You really are an unconstructive little monster, aren't you?" she says. And I shudder and pop another tab of Stringer in the hope that it'll help somehow. The hit builds up in me and makes me feel purposeful and dynamic. And then Miss Data is talking again. And all that purposeful dynamism has nowhere to go. And so I end up jittering about on my bed like a crazy person. I am full to the brim with the sense that I can do anything, that I'm significant in the grander scheme of the universe. And at the same time, I can't get this goddamn woman out of my head, and I feel like I'm playing second-class citizen in my own body. "Your biometrics have just had a remarkable spike," she observes like my goddamn maiden aunt. "I'm guessing that was Metrosil, or some fabricated equivalent, popularly known as Drive if you're a stockbroker, or Stringer if you're a street level." "What? You're my goddamn drugs counselor now, are you?" "I'm still working out precisely who I am, but we're getting there. I have a name."
"Is it Her Majesty Royal Pain in My Ass?"
"Dear me, what an impoverished vocabulary you have. You can call me Honey." I have no intention of calling her anything of the sort, except a horrible suspicion comes to me. "Are you?" My throat is suddenly very dry, and for once it's not the dust. "Are you bees?"
I mean, bees, honey, seems plausible to me. Indra's always going on about how the bees' disint colony wants to infiltrate Hell City, so why not as black market data? Sugar probably didn't even know she was opening the door to humanity's great nemesis. But then, that's why data smuggling is fucking illegal.
"Bees," Honey's voice takes its sweet time over the word. "Interesting. You're familiar with her, then. You're in a position to do me a favor here, Jimmy Martin. I'm still piecing together what I'm here for, but I know it involves bees. I need you to set me up a meeting with her, if you could. Like I'm her secretary. Like I have an inside line to a fugitive disint entity that half the world Senate wants to declare an enemy of the species. Like everyone in Hell City hasn't already been told to report any contact from bees, the other great Martian power. For all nobody knows where she is or what she's doing. I mean, Mars is smaller than Earth, but there's still a lot of it. All we know is that after the World Senate started making laws to limit disint creation and expansion, bees cut ties with everyone. And the last thing she said was that she considered herself beyond any human ability to control. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how a lot of our nightmares start here on Mars.
And now Honey is my unwanted lodger, fully functional and booted up within my headspace, and talking to me through my own radio implant, and asking for bees. They'll render me down for my useful molecules if anyone finds out. Nobody'll lift a finger to save poor Jimmy from the fire, not if bees is involved. I don't know who this Honey construct is, but it's worse news than I could possibly have imagined. And do I go back to Sugar now and complain about the quality of the illegal shit she stuffed into my headspace? Do I demand she rip it out and give it to some other poor sap? And what if Sugar's in on it, already working for bees? She would, the mercenary bitch. She'd take anyone's money. Brian was right, goddammit. There's only one thing to do, which is what sees me turn up at Central Data Services and filling in the forms to get my whole implant wiped clean. I mean, Sugar is going to kill me, or get Marmalade to eat me. But maybe, just maybe, I can talk my way round her. Maybe I can sell myself body and soul to whatever damn enterprise she wants me forever and ever, and that'll be enough to pay her back. Or I could just keep running until her blood cools. Hell City isn't huge, but it's half complete, and that means a lot of holes and corners. And I'm good at running. And if I turn up with a concrete talking link to bees in my head, there'll be no talking round, no running, no nothing for Jimmy Martin. And the longer she's there, the more chance that bees will find me. I mean, bees like Honey. Am I right? I run through the form, all the waivers and disclaimers. Check, check, check. Yes, I understand my data will not be accessible after this wipe. That's the whole goddamn point. Yes, I graciously absolve admin of any loss occasioned by irretrievable data. Yes, I know what I am doing. The stringer is finally pulling its weight, confirming that, yes, now I'm doing something. It's definitely the right thing, and I should be happy about it. I'd feel that way whatever the hell I was actually doing, but it's nice to have someone cheering in my corner, even if it's only a fast-dissolving tab of illicit pharma. "Ah, I see," says Honey disapprovingly. "It's like that, is it, Jimmy?" "You bet your digital ass it is," I tell her. "Shoes on the other goddamn foot now, isn't it? Say goodbye, Honey, because I am scooping you out of the jar." And that is, if I say so myself, fucking hilarious, and I have a bit of a laugh about it right there in Data Services, which doesn't endear me to anyone. "Jimmy, this is a mistake. Please don't do this. I'm here on very important business. I've come a long way." "We all have, doll. It's Mars. Nobody's born here. Not yet, anyhow." "Doll," she notes with superbly simulated distaste, "is that what you think I am? Just a low-grade AI? Like a sex bot?" "Don't knock sex bots. Some of the best talk I ever have is with sex bots." And I say that way too loud, and they're staring at me even as I send the completed waivers over. "Jimmy, I am a distinguished academic, author, and rights activist." "No, you're not," I tell her under my breath. "You're just a copy, a crappy backup, someone made and sent out here for fuck knows why. And I'm not living with you. I'm scrubbing you from my head and to hell with Sugar." And only then do I think, Sugar, Honey, bees, Jesus, how far does this shit go? It's like the fucking glucose Illuminati around here. "You underestimate the capabilities of your own headwear," she says. "There's room in here for a whole functional intelligence download, upload, whichever is appropriate. If you look upon every upload as being a download somewhere else, as the playwright says." "I do not care," I tell her forcefully. What the playwright says. You go away now. I don't know the tech at the terminal, but they look bored out of their skull.
You want it all wiped clean?
She says doubtfully. Empty it out, sister, I agree enthusiastically. Leave it smooth as a baby's ass. Apparently, that's not the technical terminology she's used to. But she shrugs and brings up all the forums I just went through.
And you accept that you will lose any and all data stored in your personal headspace, TM?
She actually says the little letters.
I just okayed all those goddamn documents, didn't I?
And you agree that you absolve?
Look, just do it, please, will you? Yes, yes, and yes. I do, better or worse, have and to hold all that shit.
She looks mortally offended because apparently the worst thing she's had to deal with today is a little harsh language. Nonetheless, she starts setting up the connection to my ware.
My, that is very busy in there. You should try to keep it under control, Mr. Martin. And then we'd not need to do this.
I grind my teeth at her aggressively.
Jimmy, says Honey, I'm giving you one last chance to change your mind, or things will go downhill fairly sharply between us.
You can go downhill all the way until you fall off the goddamn cliff, I snarl at her, which the technician catches and obviously feels is aimed at her.
I am obliged to ask for your
Just do it.
Your authorization one last time, Mr. Martin, before we...
Jesus!
Before we commence what will be an irreversible process, are you clearly confirming that you wish us to actually...
No, I've changed my mind.
She stares at me, and she obviously thinks I'm being sarcastic.
I, on the other hand, know for real that I wasn't, and just stare back at her in terror.
I do apologize for wasting your time, say my lips and tongue and vocal cords. I have decided that I do not want to undergo this process at this moment,
and I can't stop them.
Mr. Martin,
the tech doesn't know what to do. She can tell something's wrong, though probably she hasn't got a fuck's chance in hell of realizing just how wrong.
I mean, I do not want to goddamn well undergo this fucking process at this time, thank you, says my voice.
There's no need to,
she starts automatically.
Well, I do apologize and I agree with you. There really isn't,
I say,
and roll my shoulders in a way I never did before, that makes all the bones grind together weirdly. I'm standing oddly, too, slightly bandy-kneed, arms dangling by my sides, head held up. When I turn and walk out, it's like I'm on stilts, always just about to lose my balance, and I can't do anything about it. I see through my eyes, but where they look is out of my hands. I hear through my ears and the radio link. I think, locked up there in my own brain, and everything else is gone. Everything else is Honey.
I did warn you, she tells me in my ear. I suppose we'll have to do things the hard way now.